you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said to them again, "Children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." And they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God." Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left everything and followed you." And Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the age to come eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." Well, there's a lot going on here. When Kathy and I lived in Eppelheim by Heidelberg back in the early 70s, the Katzes invited us over one evening to play some cards. Now, Herr Katz, he used to work for the lady who owned the building we lived in, and she owned a concrete company, and so when Frau Kluckau, the church secretary, was able to find some furniture for us that they had stored and some people who were getting a new bedroom set, then Herr Katz was the one who was able to go and use the truck and bring that furniture to us to deliver. And so he was a nice guy. He and his wife had one son. And one thing that bothered us a little bit was every Monday morning they took their son to Grandma's house and they didn't pick him up until Friday night because they both worked. And I think the child was acting out a little bit because when he was home with them on the weekend, apparently when he was a couple years old, he'd play with matches and things like that and cause some sort of trouble. But anyway, we were invited up to play cards, and we lived in a kind of a ground level, almost basement, half in the basement or half in the ground apartment, and they were on the first floor in the front. And the first thing that Herr Katz did was he took us all around his apartment. And he opened up all the drawers. He showed us binoculars that he had. He showed us a gun that he had. He pointed out his stereo system. He pointed out his camera. And he told us how much everything cost. I think he thought that's what Americans would be impressed with. That Americans must have a lot of stuff and must think it's important to have a lot of things, and so he would show us all the stuff he had. Well, it wasn't really that impressive to me because I was sad that they were both working at the price of not having their son. Well, in 2007, I think it was, when we were back in Germany, we were able to go to Eppelheim, and we dropped by our old apartment, and we rang the bell, and they were there. He had this beautiful, nice silk robe on a Sunday morning. Didn't happen to make it to church that week. Hadn't probably made it to church in a long time. Very nice. They remembered who we were and that they had helped us, and I asked about the son, and he's grown up and married and lives nearby and has one child, I think. But that thought, how rich are you? What kind of stuff do you have? How much stuff do you have? It kind of stuck with me that that's the way he would judge that he was doing well. There's a little note that I've referred to often from a commentary on the book of Genesis, a little note in the bottom of the commentary that from the very third chapter of Genesis that says, God created human beings to love people and use things. Sin turns that around so that we love things and use people. And the only way that gets turned around again is through that cross. Only God can move our hearts and change our hearts. And it's not about stuff. It's not about things. It's about how do we recognize ourselves. Very rarely does Jesus refer to his disciples as children. He will talk about, you are my brothers, you are not my slaves. But here he says, children. The text we have here is directly a follow-up to what we heard last week. Remember what we heard last week? We heard the man who came and said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, give away everything that you've got to the poor, come follow me. And it says, he went away crestfallen, for he had great riches. And that story comes a variety of different ways. And so now the disciples are reflecting on that. One would think that if somebody has a lot of wealth, they must be blessed by God. And someone who hardly has any would not be blessed by God at all. Children, it's not about what you have. It's about what God gives. How is it that we can be saved? How can we get to be at peace with God? And the answer is we can't. It's not about us at all. And that's hard for us. On this earth, it is about us. It is about us because we point to this is what we did, this is how we accomplished this and that, this is what we have, this is what we've enjoyed, the things that we talk about, the things that we're proud of. But before God, none of that really matters. Because before God, the real issue is what is in your heart. And it's not like, well, if I just have the right stuff in my heart, then God will love me. I don't have anything. Adam and Eve did not have God's Spirit. God's Spirit had them. God's Spirit held to them and gave them life. God animated in a relationship with him, our first mother and father. And when they sinned, they died spiritually. The relationship with God was gone. And every one of us are born in that broken condition, outside that Garden of Eden relationship, outside the kingdom of God, outside the love and mercy and grace of God, and we must be brought in. And so, again, just a couple weeks ago, your faith is to be like that of little children. Those who are receivers and don't have anything that they can offer. And we're not talking just about a cute little smile. Children can't work for a living. They can't make their own way. Someone takes care of them. And so our Lord is coming with us to the point to say, with human beings, it is impossible. Because the very thing that we need, the relationship with God, is what we lack. And were God to come to us in all of his majesty and glory, we would die. We would be repelled away from him forever. And so he hides. He hides, as it were, in the Holy of Holies. He's with his people, but not in the fullness of all his glory. But then as Jesus comes, with the glory of God, true God hidden within himself, he comes also as a true human being. I often wondered, what would it be to really be a good Christian? To really be the right, good kind of Christian? I thought, well, maybe if you became a missionary and you denied all of the pleasures of being around family and friends and denied all of that, maybe then you could measure up to really being what Jesus says when he wants us to deny ourselves. When that didn't work out, I wondered, well, maybe it's in all sorts of troubles that we have. At the time when I was thinking about it, I hadn't had any physical troubles yet. A few of those have shown up along the way. But at that point, I wasn't suffering physically. I wasn't denying myself going with my family overseas and having all of them die of some wild disease so that I could show that I had really given myself to the Lord. That's not the way it works. That's not what the Lord is expecting of us. He does not expect us to do some sort of a radical thing to show him that we're worthy. If the Lord moves someone to do that, then God gives them the strength to do it. But that's in God's heart, to move people to do what they're going to do and how they're going to live. This is not our bragging rights. It is our joy and our thank you and our response to the Lord. And so Peter says, Lord, we've denied all of this. We've left our family behind. And he says, as you get to know other people who are believers in me, you will have great joy. You'll have all sorts of family that will be part of yours. And I'm sure these words really hit home to young people and probably some older as well who became Christian in the early church era and were renounced by their families. Book that I have is called The Early Church as Family. Became all of what your family was. Because some people said, I'm not in charge of being right with God. That's something God has given me, and I don't want to lose that. And thus, Peter says, well, we've left it all. What do we get out of it? Did you catch that? With persecutions? There are going to be people who aren't going to like you, Pete, because they're not going to like the story that you talk and what you believe. They're going to want to be able to make their own way. And you're going to be an irritant to them. And as I read through the history of the Christian church, there are an awful lot of Christians who did die because they were Christian, because they were an irritant to others. It doesn't get us into heaven any better than if we live our lives honorably and die on this earth and are called to be with him. But Jesus says, I'm the one. With human beings, it is impossible. Whew. Well, that takes a load off our mind. Now we don't have to worry about trying anymore. I don't have to understand it. I don't have to figure God out. I don't have to try and see what I'm going to do to make God love me. I don't have to decide that I give away everything I've got, because that wouldn't matter anyway. Because you can give away everything you've got and still be lost forever if you think you're the one who's making God love you thereby. Our Lord's not worried about the stuff. He wants us to understand, to turn to that cross. And as I've said so many times, if we are to understand these gospels, it's in the light of a cross and an empty tomb. He's pulling away from us all of the trying that we might think makes us important in this world, so we can open up the drawers and the closets and show others what we are and what we have. He said, just take all that away. And as little children, recognize I'm giving you that restoration. I'm giving you the same spirit that breathed into Adam and Eve. And indeed, that's what's in us by the grace of God. And when we believe and the Holy Spirit gives us the chance to believe and trust in God, we are at peace. So all the rumblings of, how are you doing, finally can be settled with, I'm at peace with the Lord through Christ. And thus, our dreams and our hopes, they're going to be different for each of us. They're going to work out better or worse for each of us. But sooner or later, finally, our Lord will call us to fall asleep in him and bring us to life everlasting without any of the stuff, as Ecclesiastes talks about, that we might have gathered together. The only thing we take in the grave that we didn't have when we came with is the relationship with God, the forgiveness of our sins, and life and salvation. And so our Christian life can be, first of all, to ask the Lord not to let us get caught in that old sinful nature, in trying to look at our value in terms of what we think, but rather to say we were valued enough that God sent his Son to give us life everlasting. And that's what unites us all, and that's what gives us peace. And thus, whether we've got that 3 cents or $3 billion, that doesn't matter. It's how we're related to it that we realize that this is how God has blessed us and what we can use as we live our lives out to praise and honor him. And thus, as we go forth first of all coming to his table, be fed and strengthened by him who says, "Take, eat, take, drink. For the forgiveness of your sins, I have given my body and blood, and in a mysterious sacramental way, I feed you with that again. And thus I've welcomed you to my table, and I go forth with you into your life, and I seek to give you peace in a world that looks for peace but cannot find it." And thus we thank and praise him, and we serve and obey him. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.